so glad that I didn't preach Mark chapter 5. I was going to preach Mark chapter 5, but your pastor beat me to it. So we're going to go to Mark chapter 4. And I appreciate how God works things out. God is amazing. Okay, three of you thought that. God is amazing. Amen. And his grace is amazing. And his power is amazing. I'm so glad I got a God like I do that loves me like he does. I'm so glad I have a God like I do that takes care of me like he does. I'm so glad I have a God like I do that supplies my needs like he does. I'm so glad I have a God like I do that watches over me like he does. I'm so glad I have a God like I do, and you can just keep going on and on and on. Are you glad you have a God like you have? Amen. Amen. Aren't you glad your God is like he is and not like all the others? Amen. So I appreciate the God I have. He's amazing. And so I was listening to the songs tonight. Even the songs began to prepare your heart for what God had put on my heart to preach tonight. In the book of Mark chapter 4, we find this story starting here. And let me just read a few verses, and then I'll make my prayer, and I'll make a couple of points, and we'll see what God has next. And the Bible says in verse number 1 of chapter 4, "And he began again to teach by the seaside, and there was gathered unto him a great multitude, so that he entered into a ship and sat in the sea. And the whole multitude was by the sea on the land." And when I preach, I try my best to get my mind and my thoughts into what I'm reading. Amen? Can you picture this? They're by the seaside. There's so many people that he decides to get into this ship, and he begins to teach them while they're all sitting on the land. Can you picture it? He's in this ship, and he's using the acoustics of the water. He's using the acoustics of the world that he made. Amen. 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 And so the Bible says in verse number 2, "And he taught them many things by parables, and said unto them in his doctrine." I'm not interested in yours. You're not interested in mine. We're interested in his. Amen. Amen. You want truth. You want doctrinal truth. You want what's right. You ought to learn what his doctrine is. Amen. Good preaching, preacher. Some of you a little slow. I'm going to help myself a little bit more here if you don't help me out quicker. And so the Bible says, "Hearken, and behold, there went out a sower to sow." And so he begins one of the most famous parables about the sower, and he begins to explain what all this is about. And I don't want to preach on that. I just want to give this for an introduction. I'm watching the clock. I promise you, the mind cannot comprehend more than the seat can endure. I understand that. Amen? Amen. And so down to verse number 10, "And when he was alone, they that were about him with the 12 asked of him a parable." So he's speaking in parables because the world's not supposed to know exactly all that's going on. They're never going to figure it out anyway. Amen? The Bible was not written to the lost world. We're not here to convince the lost world that creation's real, that Noah really did build an ark and God did put all those animals on there and made it through the flood. We're here to tell the world about the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. The gospel is what will save them. And once they meet Jesus, the author and finisher of their faith, and they get saved, now by faith they can believe the rest of the Bible. Amen. You can't believe the Bible. The Bible says by faith we understand the worlds were framed by God. It takes faith to believe the Bible, and a lost person has none. They're not going to believe that David killed Goliath with a slingshot. They're not going to believe three boys walked through a fiery furnace with Jesus in there with them. Amen. They're not going to believe that until they meet the author of faith. His name is Jesus. Once they have Christ in them, now they can believe, the faith can grow, and they can believe the rest that's in the Bible. And so he begins to teach them this, and so they ask him, and by the way, let me just throw this out. This is discipleship. I think you said there's some people being discipled. This is what they're asking Jesus to do, and you should be doing exactly what Jesus did, and that's disciple. Yeah amen. That's good preaching, preacher. Amen. "And he said unto them, unto you," verse number 11, "is given to know the mystery of the kingdom of God, but unto them that are without, all these things were done in parables." So he tells them now, and he begins to explain in the rest part of this chapter about the parable of the sower, what it means. He gives the meaning to it because they are to understand. Aren't you glad that as a saved person, we know things that nobody else knows? There are some deep things, some hidden things, the writer says, that we can know. No one knows the spirit of a, no one knows a man except the spirit of a man. No man knows God except the spirit of God. And the spirit of God is given to us believers that we may know the deep things, the hidden things of God. There are some things in this Bible that you and I can know that nobody else knows, and that's exciting. Don't you like to know something? Amen. And so he goes on in the rest of this chapter, and he explains different parables about the kingdom of God. He gets down to towards the end of this chapter, and the Bible says in verse 35, and the same day when the evening was come, he saith unto them, let us pass over unto the other side. Now this is important. Where has he been all day? He's been in a ship all day. He's been in this ship, and he has been speaking in his doctrine. He has been teaching about the kingdom of God. He's telling the world about it, but they're not getting it. But he's discipling. Matter of fact, he disciples another time also in this passage. But he disciples them, and he's teaching them these things. And the Bible says in verse 36, and when they had sent away the multitude, they took him, even as he was in the ship. Still in the ship, been there all day. And there were also with him other little ships. Verse 37, and there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship so that it was now full. This is a scary place to be. I was in Lake Erie. I was a young boy. There was my dad. There was Jimmy White, who's gone on to be with the Lord now. He was a missionary in Alaska that I went and spent the summer with. And so we're in this boat, in this 16-foot aluminum boat, a little motor on the back, and we've been out fishing in Lake Erie for perch. And walleye. And so we've been fishing all day. And of course, you know what happens when the midday comes and the fish aren't biting? The two old guys go to sleep. Yeah. Right? And what does the young guy do? The young guy stays awake because, hey, I'm fishing. And as long as I can drown the worm, I'm in it. Right? And so I'm fishing away. And all of a sudden, we're drifting further and further out. And we get close to the channel where all the big ships come through. And I'm looking up and man, wow. Whoa, that's cool. This big, huge freighter is going by. And you know when a freighter goes by, what comes after that? And all of a sudden, I look, and here it comes. Whoa. I said, Dad, Brother Jim. And they wake up to a mouthful and a face full of splashing wave. Whoosh. And it fills our boat. And it fills it to the brim. And Jimmy starts bailing as fast as he can. I'm trying to bail. Dad's back there trying to pull the motor, trying to get it started. He can't get it started. And finally, he does get it started, and it goes in a little bit and quits. And we get the oars out. We start pulling and rowing and trying to, and we get to this little island area. It was the closest piece of land we could find. We get there. We pull the boat up, and we start trying to empty it out. And we spend a couple hours getting the boat empty and the motor running again. And I said, good, we get to go fishing. It ain't dark yet. Let's go back. And two men are ready to go home. Amen. They're in this big ship. The Bible says, and the wind, the storm of wind and of the waves beat into the ship. When the waves come into the ship, it's not a good thing. Into the ship so that it was now full. And he was in the hinder part of the ship. Asleep on a pillow. Now listen to me. You may think he don't care, but he does. Amen. Hey, the fact that he's in the ship is a good thing. Amen. I would like to be any ship. I don't care what ship I'm in if he's in it. It could be a ship full of water. It's still a good ship with him in it. Amen. And he was in the hinder part. He was asleep on a pillow. And they wake him and say unto him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? What a foolish statement. Yeah. What a foolish statement. What do you mean, don't I care? Listen to me. He cares. Amen. If you're in a ship right now that's full of water, can I tell you this? He cares. If your boat right now looks like it's fixing to capsize because it's full and the wind's still blowing and it's hitting you in the face and the mist is hitting you and you feel like you're not going to make it, I got news for you. He cares. He does care. And so the Bible says in verse 39, and he rose and rebuked the wind. Wow, isn't that something? He rebuked the wind and said unto the sea, peace, be still. I wonder how he said that. Did he say, peace, be still? Did he say, peace, be still? I don't know, right? What do you care? This, as long as he speaks peace to you, as long, it doesn't matter if he yells it or if he whispers it. Listen to me. I don't care what storm you're going through. I don't care what's going on. Be thankful he's in the boat. Amen. And be thankful he cares. And be thankful he can speak peace. Right. And he speaks peace. Be still. And the wind ceased. And there was what kind of calm? Great calm. Can I give you a Bible study? Can I give you, my job is to provoke you to love and good works. Okay? Want a good Bible study? Look up the word great before words. Like a great fish. Remember that one? Here's a great calm. Look up the word great through the Bible and see how many greats there are. And what does it mean when it says great? And by the way, how big is a great fish? Amen? How big is a great calm? How calm is a great calm? How calm does it have to be a great calm? I mean, a calm's calm, right? Yeah. Calm's good, right? I mean, hey, calm's calm. There's a great calm. There are no extra words in here. Amen. There's no fluff in here. There's no filler in here. Amen? What's in here is in here for a reason. Amen? There's a great calm. It's not the everyday ordinary calm. It's a great calm. Aren't you glad that when you're going through a trouble, he can not only give you a calming, he can also give you a great calming. You ever been so troubled inside? You say, Lord, I just need help. And he comes and there's a great calm that comes over you. And you say, thank you, Lord. Peace be still. Thank you, Lord. Amen? Amen. And he said unto them, why are ye so fearful? There's the problem. Why? Why are we afraid? Why are we so fearful? We're going to, hey, what's going to happen in November? Why are we so fearful? Amen. Some of you didn't get that, did you? Amen. Why are we so fearful? Good question. Is he King of Kings? Amen. Is he Lord of Lords? Lord. Is he in your ship? Amen. Has he got this? Amen. Why are we so fearful? How is it that ye have no, say it out loud, Amen. Faith? You know what's missing? You know what happens why we get fearful? Because we lack of faith. Amen. Can I share this with you? Faith is like a muscle. The more you exercise it, the bigger it gets. You want stronger faith? Start believing God with the little things and watch, and then your faith will get bigger and you can believe him with more. Are you giving like you're supposed to give? Try to see if you can outgive God. I double dog dare you. I just showed you how old I am, right? Amen. Are you giving your life to him? Have you given him every nook and cranny? Is there still a little secret place in your heart that you hold for yourself? Or have you given him all of your life? I double dog dare you. Give him all of your life. I triple dare you. And they feared exceedingly and said one to another, what manner of man is this that even the wind and the sea obey him? Now listen to me. Don't be upset at the disciples. They're still trying to figure out what manner of man this is.
That's right.
They just met him. Okay, they're figuring this all out. We've got a written story. Amen. Yeah. We've got proof. We're on this side of Calvary, and we're over here. We know what kind of man he is. Amen. We know what manner of man he's. Not just a man. He's man above man, but he's also God. Amen. Right? We know. They don't. Don't be. But why? Why are we struggling when we know what he is? When we know who he is? When we know his power and his authority, why are we struggling? Why are we so fearful? Why is our faith so weak? But I'm going to share one more important part. In the midst of all of this, look back up, if you would, at verse number 36. And when they had sent away the multitude, they took him even as he was in the ship. And there were also with him, say the next three words, other little ships. Does that bother you? Does that bother you? You understand? There's this huge storm, so big that the wind and the waves now have filled this big ship with water. Who's looking for the other little ships? If the storm is so bad for the big ship, what about these little ships? Does anybody care about the little ships? Does anybody care? I mean, listen, you got a bunch of little ships downstairs. They're watching you go through the storm, and how you handle the storm will help them handle the storm. I wonder about those other little ships, those young Christians, those young preachers are watching us older preachers to see how we handle the storms. That's why this ministry is so effective and God's using it so greatly, because we've been through the storms and we can tell them, hey, you don't have to worry about bailing. He'll come by and peace be still. He'll calm it all and he'll take you through. They got to the other side. One of my favorite stories is when Peter walked on the water, and you know, everybody likes to say, well, you know, Peter, he took his eyes off the Lord and he sank. Yeah, that's how the people that never got out of the boat tell the story.
That's right.
Let me say that again. That's how people who never got out of the boat tell the story.
Right.
Amen. I would rather walk on water with Jesus and sink than stay in the boat.
That's right.
Amen. Do you know what? At least Peter got to hold his hand.
Yeah, exactly.
Amen. He got to walk with him on the way back. It was pretty good. I'm sorry I sank. Thanks for being there. Sure do love you.
Yeah.
Put yourself in that place. What would you be doing? Oh, Lord, thank you. Man, I appreciate you. You're so good to me. Hey, dude, you should have got out of the boat.
Yeah, that's right.
Listen, I know sometimes we're just struggling hard and life keeps pounding. But don't fear. If you're truly saved, he's in the boat.
That's right.
If you're truly saved, he's in the ship with you. But you need to be concerned about the other little ships. There are young Christians and young preachers that are struggling tonight. They don't know how to handle these waves. They don't know how to handle these problems. They don't know how to handle these difficulties. And they need some others that are in the big ships helping them in the little ships. Amen, preacher. Amen, Brother Terry. That was good preaching. Amen. I'm helping myself. Some of you slow. We need to be helping each other. And when you see somebody in your church that's struggling, and you're matter of fact, if you're going through the storm, look around and see who else is. Look around. You may throw a life jacket to somebody. Listen, if their boat, if their ship is full of water, what do you think these little ships, they've probably capsized.
Yeah.
Throw them a lifeline.
Right.
Throw them some help. Be an encouragement. Pull them into your ship.
Yeah.
Listen to me. When I saw this little phrase, it just touched my heart. There were with him other little ships. They were with him. And he cares about them too. They're important to him too, and they ought to be important to us. So you pray. Pray for CPR Ministries, because we care about all the ships. We care about all the preachers and their families and what they're going through. We care about Christians. We care about the lost. And we need your prayers as we go to reach the lost and help believers remain faithful in these last days.
Amen.
Listen, God didn't ask you to be perfect. You know why? Because you can't.
Right.
But he did ask you to be faithful. You know why? Because you can.
Yes.
And God honors and God blesses faithfulness.
Right.
Just hang in there like a hair in a biscuit.
Yeah.
Do I need to repeat that? Did y'all get it? Did you get the mental picture? Hang in there like a hair in a biscuit. It's got three knots in it. Just remain faithful. Just stick it out. Listen, if God lets me come back at a later date, I want to find you all here. I want to find you faithful. I want to find you still just just hanging in there, just bailing every once in a while, asking the Lord to calm the sea.
Yeah.
Being thankful you got him in your ship.
That's right.
Helping some other little ships.
That's right.
Amen?
Amen.
Stay with the Lord. He won't leave you. If anybody makes a distance, it's you that pulls away.
Yeah.
Don't pull away. Let him help. And you pray for CPR Ministries as we do what we can to reach those who are struggling. Father, thank you for your people tonight. Thank you for their attentiveness. Bless the remainder of this service, whatever the pastor wants to do. We'll thank you and praise you for all you've done in our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. If you'll all stand with your heads bowed and your eyes closed, this is the time. Maybe you're struggling. Maybe your boat's ready to capsize. I don't mean to take the analogy too far, but it's true. I don't know. But if you're in the middle of it, you feel just as helpless as somebody whose boat's upside down. All right. And so as Brother Phil plays some music, there's an opportunity to pray and seek the Lord for peace and his presence, and his power. Our Father and our God, we love you and thank you for the message and the messenger. We pray, God, that you would continue to empower your messenger as he reaches out to help others. Help us do the same. We love you and thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. If you're a teacher,